Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 2 of week number 13, studying Matthew 13, is part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we begin, these reminders. Our programs air thousands of times each month all around the country, but they do not air continuously everywhere. But you can have unlimited access 24/7 to all of our materials, always free, by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For a listing of all of our materials, send an email to free@ighradio.com. To receive IGH 260 text updates, text the word IGH free to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word, text IGH free to 55222. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. First, use our completely free, self-paced online Bible study program. Get started by going to IGH.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer to study by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series. You can also request that series by using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get back into our study of Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 1 and 2. In the first two verses of the chapter, the stage was set for the extended kingdom parable teaching that we will read throughout the rest of the chapter. In those two verses, we see the major character, the major teacher, Jesus. His three-part ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing continues, but in this chapter, without any miracles. We are also reintroduced to his audience, the multitudes. Multitudes started to follow Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, and to this point, the multitudes continue to follow him. We also learn that Jesus' teaching event in Matthew 13 took place by the sea, where Jesus spoke from a boat and his audience listened from the shore. We also learn when these teachings occurred. It was the same day as the events that we witnessed at the close of Matthew chapter 12. At the close of that chapter, Matthew 12, we read these words. While he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This passage, at first glance, and maybe even at second glance, appears to pit Jesus against his immediate family members. That's not at all the case. But Jesus certainly does make a distinction between his physical, fleshly family members and his spiritual kingdom family. When Jesus asked the question, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" he highlighted that distinction. Those who listened to his kingdom message, who believed his kingdom message, and who were prepared to give up everything in order to be part of the coming spiritual kingdom, those souls were members of Jesus' kingdom family. At this point in Jesus' ministry, it appears that very few, if any, of his immediate physical family believed his claims to be the Messiah. We see that elsewhere in the gospel records, in John chapter 7, for instance, especially chapter 7, verse 5. But we see it in this context as well. We do not see it in the immediate context of Matthew 12 or Matthew 13, but we do see it in the parallel context of Mark chapter 3. In Mark's account, chapter 3, verses 31 through 35, those verses parallel the closing verses of Matthew 12, where Jesus made the same distinction in Mark between physical and spiritual family that Matthew does. But earlier in that Mark chapter 3 context, we read this, "Then the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him. For they said, he is out of his mind. That's Mark 3, 20 and 21. What specific things did his own people hear that prompted them to lay hold of Jesus and to conclude that he was out of his mind? The details are not spelled out in this setting, but it appears that, whether out of sincere or misguided concern, their general understanding of what Jesus was doing was hostile in nature, and that they were outside the fellowship of Jesus' followers, at least at that time. This brings Jesus' remarks about physical and spiritual family distinctions into sharper focus. Why? Because some members of his immediate family not only did not believe Jesus' claims, they thought that he was out of his mind. And, thinking that he was out of his mind, they set out to find Jesus so that they could speak with him. It's against that background information that we see some in his audience tell Jesus, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you." Matthew 12:47. You can see then why, as a subplot to the overall purpose of Matthew, that Jesus was intent to prove to the general population that he was the Son of God, and in the process, hopefully, to convince his own family members of that same truth. Thus, Jesus continued to do what he had done since the beginning of his ministry. Jesus continued to teach, preach, and heal. The initial two events that we read in the opening verses of Matthew 12 took place on a Sabbath day. First, the incident where the Pharisees accused the disciples of violating the Sabbath, and then second, the account where Jesus healed the man with a withered hand in the synagogue, also on the Sabbath day. When Jesus realized that the Pharisees plotted to take his life, he withdrew from there, Matthew 12:15. But the multitude still followed him, and Jesus still preached. There's no time break in Matthew's account between the Sabbath day incidents and what follows through the end of the 12th chapter. So, when Matthew 13 begins, it appears that what Jesus taught in this context was on the same day as the events of Matthew 12. Two quick thoughts about that. We are not told where the grain field incident occurred, but generally, the Jews would have not traveled far on the Sabbath day. It probably occurred close to Capernaum. Furthermore, it appears that the healing of the man with the withered hand took place in the synagogue of Capernaum. And as Matthew 13 opens, we are told that Jesus went out of the house. We have noted several times before that Peter and Andrew lived in a house next to the synagogue. Geographically, the placing of those events in Matthew 12 and Matthew 13, and then chronologically, the timing of those same events appears to be in and around the village of Capernaum and on the same day as what we read in Matthew 12. Still, the Sabbath day. Matthew's record of these kingdom parables appears to be set against the backdrop of the challenges that Jesus just faced in the previous chapter, Matthew 12. Jesus and the disciples were challenged about eating on the Sabbath day. Jesus was confronted about healing a man on the Sabbath day. Jesus, after healing the demon-possessed man that was both blind and mute, was accused of doing so by the ruler of the demons. Jesus was then tested by the scribes and the Pharisees to produce a sign. And then finally, Jesus presented what, as we have noted before, what appeared to be a most disrespectful representation of his immediate physical family. The parables that Jesus was about to present in this chapter were parables not only about the nature of the kingdom from the standpoint of its hierarchy or organization, but about the nature of Jesus' kingdom disciples. In the first parable, we learn that the seed, the Word of God, the message that Jesus had been consistently preaching and teaching, was what produced good fruit. In his explanation about why he used parables, Jesus in effect taught that they were a filtering mechanism to determine one's level of spiritual interest and thus one's acceptance before God. When Jesus explained that first parable, the parable of the sower, the four types of soil represented four types of hearts, three of which were negative assessments of the souls who heard Jesus' message. The rest of the parables and their related explanations continued the model that we see in the first part of the chapter. Jesus was, essentially, qualifying and explaining the kind of soul that would be part of the coming spiritual kingdom. And while multitudes continued to follow Jesus, as his teaching and its requirements became even more specific, even more demanding, many would eventually turn away from him. The point? What Jesus said about the distinction between his physical family and his spiritual kingdom family would, over time, become even sharper than what we initially saw in the closing verses of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew's gospel appears to be intentionally planned around five major discourses given by Jesus. The first major discourse occurred in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. The second one appears in Matthew chapter 10, the chapter devoted almost entirely to Jesus' commission of the 12 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This chapter, Matthew 13, constitutes the third major discourse presented by Jesus. Matthew 17, starting after the account of Jesus' transfiguration and continuing through the 18th chapter, comprises the fourth major preaching segment in Matthew. And Matthew chapters 24 and 25 make up the final, the fifth major preaching event of Jesus. Though we are used to seeing chapter and verse divisions printed in most of our English translations, we must occasionally be reminded that those chapter and those verse divisions did not exist in the original writings of the New Testament. They were added for the sake of convenience, but occasionally they can be a bit inconvenient. We must not assume that everything taught about a topic or a principle ends within the confines of one verse or one chapter. The message? We must read large segments of the text, without regard to verse starts and stops or chapter starts and stops, in order to make sure that we are getting the fullest taste of what's intended in that portion of the biblical text. What's interesting to note are the natural demarcations presented within the text itself. Usually, certain phrases that tell us about the starts and the stops that the writer intended for the reader to recognize. We saw just that sort of thing in the Beatitudes, and we will see it again in this chapter. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 13. This reminder as we close, consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study. To get started, just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.